Well, good morning out there. Welcome into Mornings with Vox 2 Radio on the Vox 2 Radio Network. What a beautiful March 10th, 2026 morning that we've had. It's been warmer. It's not been too cold this morning. It has been a good day. We're praying for you. We're believing God for the impossible in your life, whatever situation, whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever ailment, whatever attack, whatever trial, whatever it looks like in your life. We know that He is able. He is enough. And He's not just able and enough. He is also willing. Amen. And so praise be unto God. Praise be unto God that He is the God that does the impossible, saves to the uttermost. And whatever your situation this morning, He's at the door of your heart knocking. He's right there, one call away. He is able, my friend. He is able. Hallelujah. I've been waiting for my smoothie to unthaw since 4 a.m. I've had out of the freezer since 4 a.m. and I still can't drink it.
It's because it's not summer yet.
That's what you call really frozen.
And my wife told me to freeze it because it would be like more of a...
Todd used to freeze his and then he'd put them in the microwave.
Well, I'm about to do that because I want my smoothie. I've been waiting since 4 a.m. in the morning to this thing unthaw. And
it's not a smoothie, it's an icy.
I just want it.
It's called a cube.
I'm so hungry. And this is my breakfast. Yeah. And... So if you see me trying to drink my smoothie, my eyes are popping out. It's because I'm determined here in a minute to get something out of it. All right.
Go get a spoon. Just take the lid off.
I'm about to do that. Well, Miss Jeannie, let's start with you. Is this the better half of the Raise a Hallelujah duo or what is this?
You can't get me to say that. Are you kidding me?
Just kidding.
I'll say it for you. It is.
I'm just kidding. How are you doing this morning, Miss Jeannie?
Pretty high from last night. We had a big night at our church, and Leslie Downs was there, and it was a ministry night.
An exciting weekend coming up.
Yes, we got Story Tour coming Friday. We've been really, really building that up and doing all the stuff behind the scenes. Hopefully, we're going to see God move in a great way.
Yeah. Amen. Expecting it. Miss Hannah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just still filled with gratitude this morning and excited for what the Lord is going to do. Tuesdays are usually my favorite day of the week. Not just because of the radio, but definitely has a big part of it. But it's just a day filled with the Lord and prayer because we have a prayer meeting after this. And I'm just excited for how the Lord is going to move.
Awesome.
So,
move from one place into
another. He just keeps flowing and moving all day. So.
Yeah, I like that all day thing. It's good for me.
Amen. Miss Karen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I mean, I am raising a hallelujah, too, already, on the way over here and everything. Started at 2 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, 2 o'clock. Amen. Yeah. I know about that 2 o'clock.
Yeah, raise a hallelujah.
Yeah, God gets real serious when it's 2 o'clock, because usually it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
But if it's 2 o'clock, he's got something he wants to say.
I ask him that when I woke up. I'm like, what is going on, God?
So when it's 3 o'clock, do you have the option to go back to sleep? Because I do that.
No. It's just the urgency behind it. If it's 2 o'clock,
I have to admit, sometimes I go back to sleep, Hannah. Well,
everybody knows I go back to sleep. I felt so bad that one day that I said, what do you do when you wake up at 3 a.m.? And everybody's like, you pray. I said, I usually use the restroom. They made me feel really bad.
Well, you use the restroom and then you pray.
Oh, is that it? All right. Miss Crystal, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm also coming off a little high. I've had family all weekend.
Yes. I saw you on there singing.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't convince my older brother, but he's a little shyer than we are, and but it was just a really good family time, and we had some talks that were really good, and we agreed to disagree on a lot of things, and so God is good. So it was. I mean, but it was that I said that we've never talked about some spiritual issues, and so it just worked out really good, and so we had a loving discussion, and you know how that, and sometimes you know, like when your family doesn't believe like you're, sometimes there's that little tension thing or whatever. Well, it all came out this weekend, and it was awesome, and we were able to love and And then, like I said, it's been a long time since I've been able to worship with my brother in church. And then to have my son on the drums and my niece.
Yeah, yeah.
She used to be one of the backup singers when I was a worship leader back home. And so it was just like a reunion for us.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah,
it
was
fun.
That was awesome. I'm going to have to know, get that song. That yeah. song was awesome.
That was actually a ministry. Well, you know what? Jensen Franklin's ministry.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have that's where the ramp went there one time or something like that. And Ricardo Sanchez was the worship. And he created a lot. There's one called Moving Forward. Mm. We did all of their songs. Our young people went to that big youth conference, and we got all the songs out of there.
Wow. That's great. Awesome. Yeah.
That's back, like I said, that's probably 2000s, maybe.
Don't start that stuff again. I'm telling you. We're not going to talk
about that.
Let's
call us young and
art. I didn't say nothing.
I know, but I felt it heading that way. I was like, nope.
I just said those songs are old, but they've got such power in them, and they're still anointing. And my brother loves to play that one. So he said, let's just do it. We knew it. Didn't have to practice a whole lot. So it worked.
Awesome. Amen. If you want to interact with the broadcast today, 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337 is a number to interact with us this morning. Also, you better get ready for this trivia question. We're 2 weeks and one day in.
All right.
So we're going to go all the way through Share-a-thon, which is the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Then we're going to go beyond.
That
all
means
right?
It's just never ending.
Yeah, we're going to go.
We're just going to expect it, and we won't even have to. We'll just say, hey, we didn't get one. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge.
Mike,
it's going to happen.
That's right.
Even if I have to text somebody a hint.
It's going to be the norm.
All right, but we're going to keep this up this morning. So I hope you're geared up for the trivia question. And I love it because now, we're getting multiple calls each morning because people's in this. So people's committed. We've had new listeners. Well, I don't know if they're new listeners, new reach out listeners, family members there, all the way from Glasgow recently.
Wow.
Then we had a couple other ones that's called in during these 2 weeks. And so it's good to hear new names, new voices, as well as our old faithful voices, not old in the season way. Just they've been with us a while, Miss Jeannie. That's all I mean. Okay. That's all I mean. And so, but it is really good to be a part of such a wonderful network and a wonderful radio station. And we're thankful for you guys, the listening crew, the listening family, as well as all those that come in here and help us put this on and work so diligently. We are always gearing up and excited for the Share-a-thon. So if you have a testimony about Box 2 Radio you would like to write down or maybe even come in and record the next 2 weeks, reach out to me. Again, 270-230-6337. Even record it on a voice recorder probably would work, like with your iPhone app or something like that, or your Android app for those Android users. I'm sure they have something like that as well. And so love to have the testimonies coming into these spring Share-a-thon, which I'm excited for the spring Share-a-thon because the word spring is in it. The spring.
I knew that.
I'm springing forward. All right.
We've already
hoping to get his smoothie unthawed is all it is.
I'm even breathing on here.
Let Mikey sit on it. No, I'm
just
kidding.
breathe, oh breath of God.
I'm about to go get a hairdryer or something here. But it is really exciting for what God's doing in the earth, moving in tremendous ways. And we just praise God for you guys and praise God for the moving of His Spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are getting ready to go into the book of Acts here in a few minutes, so you can prepare your heart for that. My question to the crew in here, has your body adapted yet to this losing an hour sleep Sunday? I don't think I've ever.
Today was hard for me.
Sure.
Of course, all my company left and I cleaned house all day yesterday, but it was rough today. I started to say, y'all might have to raise it without me. But no, I pressed
rough
in.
Since
I've never,
Sunday.
Never struggled.
Oh, my goodness.
I've
all
never
my
struggled
recovery.
Either.
Never struggled.
Until now.
The only time I ever struggled is
change.
When I forgot to do it and got to church an hour early.
Yeah.
I've done that too.
Extra hour of prayer.
Yeah. If I look at the clock and it says 8 o'clock, it doesn't matter to me what it looks like outside. It's 8 o'clock.
I may have messed up on the time, but it doesn't seem like it's ever bothered my body. Like, it doesn't seem like I've ever really been able to tell that I lost it or gained it
right
until now.
I had to go work Saturday night after prayer, so when we left prayer I had to go work, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, it should be like 9:30 and it's really 10:30, and it was very like this stinks. But I did find a statistic out interesting, because I am a proponent of now that we've changed to Dave Light Savings Time, leaving it and never changing it again in the history of the world.
Amen.
Never going back
I'm
an hour.
With that.
Just staying here.
Don't agree.
And I heard a statistic the other day, and it was like heart attacks go up 24% or something like that. It was a pretty good number. The Monday or the Tuesday after daylight saving time switchover.
Wow.
Because people's bodies just struggle with losing an hour of sleep. And
you don't think it's their mind?
I don't know. Like, it was a statistic I heard. Now, I don't know where they got this statistic, but it was like, I remember hearing another radio station, and it was like 24% heart attacks or something go up. And they talked about, like, even, like, livestock, how they struggle to adapt, how our bodies are struggling to adapt because we get in habits.
They show up at the gate at 6 o'clock.
And they don't read a clock.
It's really 7.
They don't read a clock. Like, they can't read time. So their body's working off of hours. I'm a fan. So anybody that wants to propose that to never change back to an hour, that would
that
be incredible.
I thought that was something in the making.
They need to vote it in.
They didn't. I think it was Bashir didn't do it.
Well, I don't care if Kentucky has to do it. I don't care if the government has. I don't care who has to do this. Let's just get it done to where we never go back. Because
right.
It is.
Wasn't it
like
for farmers at one time?
Yeah,
that's why
they
created
it.
Yeah.
Somebody told me they left it that way because for golfers now.
Well, that's why I want that extra hour. I want that extra hour of daylight for golfing. So
yeah.
That's what they said. Is they moved.
That's
it
why I don't want to go
so
back.
The golfers have more time.
I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the 1 hour. Like, I don't want less daylights. I want more, but I don't think we should ever go back.
Daylight.
I do too.
Love that it's 8 o'clock at night. And you can still sit up.
Greg, that's way too confusing. Greg said, "Why not just split it 30 minutes and leave it?" That's
oh my
way
goodness.
Too. No, Greg.
I've got a headache already.
Yeah, Greg, that is impossible. Like, that will never happen.
I will say, on a more serious note, like yesterday, this has never happened to me yet. I mean, I know I'm still young, but I've never struggled with like high blood pressure or anything like that. Mm. And yesterday, I didn't think it would have had anything to do with a time change. But yesterday, at first I just thought I was having anxiety, which I guess that could have played. And I don't have anxiety either on a regular. But my whole body started getting red. Like, I started breaking out into, like, blotchiness all over my face. And it wasn't an allergic reaction because I hardly had anything yesterday. And I was just getting really – I knew that my blood pressure was high because I've seen that on other people when theirs is high. Their face gets really red and really hot. And it took a while for it to go down. I mean, I had to, like, lay down. Like, it was really weird.
Wow.
But I was getting, like, really hot, like, physically hot and then, like – overstimulated and stuff, and I don't know, I'm like, does that have something to do with it yesterday? But I just thought it was like some kind of spiritual attack, so I just started taking authority over it.
Right.
And I was like I'm not gonna accept this, because my mom has struggled with that before, but I never have.
Yeah,
so I just, you know, started taking authority over it. But I know a lot of people struggle with their they've struggled with blood pressure, but I didn't even take my blood pressure because I was like, I already know what this is. I don't have to take it. I know. Okay. I could feel it. Yeah. Like, this is not normal. I need to sit down. But, that's interesting about the time change.
Now, I can't confirm or deny that. I heard that statistic, but so I'd have to do more research to, like, confirm it. But I did hear the statistic on another radio station state that. I think it was 24%. Like, it goes up the Monday or something. I think it's the Monday after daylight saving time switchover. So, all right, well, we do have a couple of announcements. Of course, Miss Jeannie's announcement of the weekend. Do you want to give that again for those?
Yeah, the story tour. Come out,
ma'am.
If you know anybody's got a hurt habit or a hang-up, come on.
I love that.
There's lots of...
We'll all be there.
Yeah, that's right. It starts at 6:30, I believe. I ain't got the brochure in front of me. But come on in at 6. You can talk to me. And it's going to be a great night of music, testimony, and ministry to those who are hurting.
So if you have bad habits, you can come, and if you have
good habits
of praising the Lord, you can come.
Come on.
Because then you'll fit right in.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're somebody who's come through addiction, you've come through hurts and habits and hang-ups, come on. We definitely need those people to be there to pray for others. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, I can definitely tell you one habit I'm not doing.
Freezing a smoothie.
I saw it coming.
You need to take the lid off that. Take the lid off of it.
Tear the roof off.
Will that help it?
Tear off the roof.
It's That'll preach.
That was right on beat.
Like, I'm not kidding you. I've been waiting since 4 a.m. for this thing to unthaw.
See, God's wanting to tell you something.
He breathes.
And if you get it, then we can move on from the smoothie.
Just go get the message.
Get it.
Just go get a spoon.
I want to move on from the smoothie. I want it to be in my belly. I just want to drink it. All right, well, let's go to Acts, and I'll get more spiritual here. Amen.
The word chocolate or anything like that comes up, we know.
It's a healthy smoothie. It's got elderberry in it, dragon fruit. It's got Greek yogurt and unsweetened fat-free almond milk. And it's so it's a healthy one. It's just I can't eat it. Can't drink it. I could eat it, I guess.
Wait, can I share something from Sunday? Really quick. It was just a powerful presence of the Lord when we all gathered at the end and prayed. And I'm sad that Ezra was having a whole hit his head, and Ethan and him didn't make it in there. So I was sad about that. He had a whole meltdown at that very moment. But I was looking around because I didn't have my own baby to pray over. So I think little Jensen was standing in the gap because he grabbed my arm really tight and was just holding on to me. So I was like, okay, you'll stand in the gap. But I was looking over at like all the kids. And there was such a, you know, Pastor Aaron was preaching on fear of the Lord, and there was such a fear of the Lord in that moment, in the stillness. And I was looking over at Brett and Addison, Miss Sierra is probably listening, her Addison, and just the other ones. And they were all just, and then I didn't even know the one in the middle, but they were all just so still. And it was reminding me of when the Lord begins to move, and we do receive the fear of the Lord. It starts to infiltrate every part of our life. And I was thinking about it affects the kids, like even from the youngest age. And I was thinking about Brett, my little brother. He, you know, the Lord has really been moving in my family's life and things like that. And he's been like singing unashamed, like just singing more. He gets, anybody knows him, he gets very, he gets excited and obsessed with stuff.
So do I.
Obsessed, and I'm the same way. Like superhero, like he's all about whatever he's about. Like it's the superheroes, it's this, it's that.
That's a great quality.
But I've been praying for him. Like Lord, I can't wait for him to be all about you. For him, because I know you put that in him for a reason. Anyways, Mom sent me a video of him singing in the. You've probably seen it. Him singing in the grocery store. He's singing Holy Forever.
Yeah.
And I just thought about that because I was thinking, you know, Lord. It's going to move upon our kids. Like, and part of that protection that we were praying, like raising up the hedge of when we are raising the standard, when we're raising the hedge and we're seeing, letting the Holy Spirit flow, like Crystal was talking about, like he was just highlighting the little kids to me. Cause for some reason on Sunday that I could see that something was happening. Like they were noticing something and that something was even like they seemed a little bit scared, like fear of the Lord, like what is going on
here? I better not move.
They were like, I've never had to be this still. But then there was something, I saw him begin to sing, and I don't know why I felt like bringing that up, but just be encouraged today that, you know, pressing in and doing the hard thing, denying your flesh and moving forward with the Lord, praying protection over your family, whatever it looks like, moving forward with the Lord is making a difference.
Yeah.
In every generation, all the way down to the little ones.
You remind me of a story that happened, if we got time for it. My girl was in daycare, and she was like, kindergarten, first grade. And, you know, if you're not ashamed, they don't know nothing about being ashamed.
Right.
And they don't pay any attention to where they are.
They're going to cut loose with it.
And I remember they went on a field trip to the airport in Louisville. And when they got back, the director of the daycare told me, she said, we were walking the kids through the airport, and your daughter started singing. And I think it was like a How Great Is Our God type song. Yeah. You know, I don't remember the song. And all the kids chimed in with her. And because the airport's so open, it echoed all through the airport. And she said, it was the most wonderful time, you know.
That's amazing.
Why? Because she didn't know any shame. She didn't know, I am not supposed to do this right now.
Right.
And we need to bring that kind of fame back to the Lord so our kids will know to continue.
Amen. I was listening to a prayer, like a somebody just praying. It was like worship music and somebody just praying that they were reading scripture. I don't even, it just popped up out of nowhere on my YouTube this morning. I was like, amen, Lord. And it was so on point. And they were talking about childlike faith. And I think that's what made me think about this. But also it was talking about, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, bringing up scripture, different scriptures about faith. And it also brought up that scripture about holding our peace.
Lord will fight for you.
Yeah, that came up again. But I don't know. There's just something about that, I guess, on my heart this morning of the childlike faith.
And
you can't, we can't please God without it, because it was talking about how we have to move before, we have to take action before we see any result. And that's the whole thing about faith. It's just, and that's what kids do. They don't, they don't worry about the result. They just move. They just trust in their parent that it's okay for them to do that, because they don't know any better, as Jeannie said.
That's their life.
They abandon their thoughts. They don't overthink any of it. And they just move, and simply because we're going there. That's where we're going. Here we go. And they don't think, they don't question it. That's what we need to be about.
Amen.
For sure.
Well, we're going to cover a couple of verses in Acts 17, but Hannah said something, and this is not spiritual at all, and I'm not even sure I should say this on the radio, but I'm going to.
She said it. Wait a minute. She just said it.
She sparked something. I mean, this isn't spiritual at all, so that was really good. Like, hallelujah. But you said, like, Brett gets obsessed with superheroes. I don't know if y'all have caught this or not, but I'm, like, thinking, what kind of universe are we living in? Because I think President Trump back in December of late last year said that they are going to start taking one boy and one girl from each state and making a big competition out of it. Well, that sounds like a movie. Like, I don't think they're like fighting to the death, but it's like two kids going and doing a big competition. They're not fighting to the death or nothing like that movie, but it's like that's so resemblance of a popular movie. And now we've got this thing forming in America where, Miss Noam here went from one position to another. And do you know the new organization, what's called? The Shield of the Americas. The Shield. Like, they're building a whole new security initiative that's called the Shield of Americas. And, like, it's a whole new organization. And I'm like, so we've got the Hunger Games over here, and now we've got the Shield over here. I'm thinking, what in the world kind of world? You said heroes, and it just made me to think of it. Like, I feel like we're living in this alternate universe now. Like, where are we going to go next? Like, is Captain America popping out of the corner? Are we going to have the Justice League next? I don't know. It was very unspiritual, but it's just crazy.
It is weird how sometimes things in movies that they put in movies will end up happening, like years before. Like, they put it in the movie years before, and then whatever was happening in the movie that we thought was just made up ends up kind of infiltrating into the culture. It is weird. Because even they were talking about different things with Greenland, and I've seen a movie about a similar situation with that, like creating like bunkers and different underground protection and different things. And I'm like, I've seen this in a movie before. What is going on?
I've heard of the Shield before. So. It was in a movie.
That one.
Now we got a modern day Shield.
You didn't think that would actually happen.
Yeah. Now we're getting a modern day Shield. They're literally called the Shield of Americas. And so I'm like, ooh. Next thing you know, we're going to have a big old green guy jumping out of the sky. We're going to have these little...
If he's on our side, I'm good.
If we get aliens, though, I'm really going to say, let the Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus. Like, I'm out at that point.
I got to tell... You said aliens. I got to tell my alien story. Look, hey, one day I got a call from Jerry Spencer. Uh-huh. He was working over on in Garfield at a church, and a woman came up on the front lawn of that church with a German Shepherd, and she was talking out of her mind, and he didn't know what to do with her. So they called me over at the church, and I drove over there, and I sat down beside her. She didn't even know I was there until I sat down beside her, and she turned around and looked at me and went, "Do you believe in aliens?" And I said, "I believe if there are aliens, they'll have to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior." It was great. She received that answer. She was good with it.
She's looking for one, wasn't she?
They now, better be good with that answer.
John Kilpatrick one time talked. I heard his sermon that he talked about, and I pondered it. I can't say I agree with everything he said, but it was interesting. He postulated that there are aliens, but they're not aliens, that they're more of the demonic army that's going to come to Earth. He postulated some things on that. I couldn't do it justice. You'd have to hear the whole teaching, but talking of like a supernatural body, because it does talk in Revelation about the scorpion army and all this kind of thing.
I have heard that they are which, evil spirits.
Again,
I'm not saying I agree with it or don't agree with it. I have heard for years.
I wonder
that
what Hauser
just,
would say.
Oh, God.
There's no telling what Hauser's going to say.
My brother's been here all weekend, believe me.
You've heard
I
about
think we can say.
She knows what they say.
We've got the shield. We've got two kids from each state going in there. And now.
Heavens. And
now we've got the Scorpion Army. Like, we're just covering all movies
the,
right here.
I think God
the
in his
unseen
mercy,
realm.
God in his mercy puts people together that are. Somebody is really not into all the conspiracy stuff, and somebody that is to keep it balanced.
Like me
because
and,
there you know, might be a little bit of truth, maybe in it.
Are you saying that for me and Jacob Swift?
Yes, and her brother, and I know of a few other pairs. So
I have a pair.
Yeah, I'm the non-conspiracy one.
I'm not gonna say his name.
I wouldn't
over
say
the
my
air.
Brother is conspiracy theory, but he is definitely. Anyway. Moving into some things, and what he's saying is all scripture. You know, it's just really hard for me to comprehend what all there. And Pastor Aaron knows because it's Michael Hauser mm-hmm. is an author that and
I want to say I don't mean to interrupt you, but Hauser's an incredible teacher.
He is,
and he's a godly guy.
Yes,
and
yes. He just passed away actually.
Yeah, and
a few years ago. But yeah, his teaching is just so different.
Yeah,
and everything is and all he's not telling you this is the way. He says go look it up. That's pretty much what he does. He presents different views, and he says, go look it up. And so that's what my brother's doing. And he comes up with this stuff, and I'm like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I'd have to go study it. He bought me the books. I've got the books. I've tried to read it three times. I cannot comprehend. I said, it is just not my gift.
Yeah.
I forget we're on the radio. I guess we need to go to Act 7.
I think we really do need to move on here.
I will say this,
let me say this. I was at the meeting last night that Leslie sang at and gave her testimony at, and this will bring us back, I think. But she sang this one song.
I don't know
song.
If anything's going to bring us back right now.
She sang this one song, and I don't remember any of the words to it except one particular phrase she said. The song was about her life, you know, what had happened and everything. And then she came to this bridge or course or whatever, and she said, this is what mercy has done for me. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that just, I mean, I loved the sound of that. You know, she was talking about all the hardships she'd gone through, everything that had happened to her, you know, where she had found herself and everything like that. But then she said, but this is what mercy did for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an incredible thing.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
Well, I don't know if we're going to have time for Acts 17. We're going to have to we're going to have to go forward because we're going to go for a trivia. But I will say this. I think the thing I like about Michael Hauser, even if I don't agree with everything, even the same thing with N.T. Wright. I don't know if you've ever listened to N.T. Wright. Like, I disagree with him on some things pretty staunchly. And I think the thing I like about men like that is I do think they love Jesus, but I think they challenge just a tradition of men that we've stuck to in the church. Like, we can't touch that teaching because what we'll be taught for five. It may be wrong, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is where I think pushing us just to see the scripture. And what I love about Hauser, honestly, again, even if I don't agree with everything he teaches, or even if I don't agree with, I don't understand it or something in regard, is that he's bringing God more out of our box.
Right.
Because I think we try to make God very attainable and like us, and he's not like us. We are made in the image enough to be like him, but he is a very supernatural, spiritual. God's a spirit. There's a supernaturalness to him that we can't even fathom. There, even the mysticalness of God. Like, we don't even like to talk like this because New Ageism trying to rip that away from us.
Yeah.
But like, when we read Revelation and see the throne room and see what's going on up there and see the lightning and the thundering and hear his voice and seeing the Lamb sitting on the throne and trying to figure out the Trinitarian, all this complex things and the depthness of it, but also that he, like Psalm says, rides on the wings of the air. Like, the things about the Lord, we have to take him out of that box. And I think that's what Hauser does really good, is he just makes us start taking him out of his box and letting him be holy.
Because my brother made a statement. He said, when I came, because he went through COVID, and he said, when I came out of that and you know, faced death's door and I just began to study and I found all this, he said, I just want to know God. I want to know him more. And he said, in all my studies, because he's been doing this for about, you know, 5 or 6 years now, just study, study, study. He said, I found out I know less. I know nothing now, you know. But he loves it, you know, and he just means God is so big. We will never understand all the things about God. He's just God. And you know, he's
I don't want to come to the end of it.
No.
That's why eternity
that's what he
is
was
so
saying.
Great.
Yeah. He said, every day I start all over again going, oh, my God, I didn't know that was there, and I didn't know that was there.
You know, also, when you hear some teaching and you go, oh, that ain't right, that's not right. You know, some of the greatest revelations I've ever had is searching out what I thought was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Searching out, and not to blame or anything like that. Just going, does this say that? And then digging in and letting God show you what is or what he wants
Absolutely.
To say to you. It's a great place to be. So wrong teaching ain't going to hurt you.
No.
Just go ahead and find out what's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And as much as I love theology, and everybody knows I nerd out and I love it, and I study theology and I love systematic theology particularly, that's the one detriment of systematic theology that I will say, and this is coming from somebody who loves it dearly, is that sometimes we want to compartmentalize God. We want to put him in this box, and we want to put him in that box, because that's what systematic is. We're just tearing apart things and putting it into a proper box. And I think there is that to an extent. But I think when you think of the character of God, when you think of the person of God, when you think of the personhood of Christ, when you think of the personhood of the Holy Spirit, he will break all of those boxes. Like, there's not a box that's able to contain him.
Right.
We can have we can talk about his incommunicable attributes, the things we can't share, and his omniscience, and we can, in definition, start to tap into it. But to really comprehend, he's everywhere. He's
right.
In all things.
I'm so glad.
He's so much bigger
so
than our
glad.
Definitions.
Amen. I want him to be everything and more than I can think, and I wanted that.
Yeah. And we've got find out what that really is instead of what it is we like for it to be.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want to think about God being, or they don't want to talk about God being holy, but he is holy.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about God being righteous, but he is righteous.
That's right.
He is just.
And I love that you brought up the fear of the Lord, because
absolutely.
That's always going to be, you know, where's the fear of the Lord is in those children that I'm assuming Sunday, and the stillness hit the room. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God's in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, I think, I don't remember the exact Psalm reference, but I know it's in Psalm, and it says, the fear of the Lord is clean.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what translation you read it, but it's basically saying the fear of the Lord is clean, because when we live in the fear of the Lord, it's a clean feeling.
Right.
It's a righteous feeling. It's a holy feeling. And holiness is not just good morals. It's not it's not moralistic theology or anything like that. He is totally different. There is truly no one like him. There's no one comparable to him. He is self-sufficient. He is independent of all things. He exists in himself. There is no outside source he needs to exist in. He's holy. He's separate. There's no opposite. The devil is not his opposite. He's not his other than. There is no other than.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven,
by no greater.
Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed.
Yes.
You stand
that
alone.
That scripture is Psalms 19:9.
I was thinking
it's one. Fear of the Lord is clean in King James. Fear of the Lord is pure in other translations.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord is clean. Because when you live in that, when you're standing in that fear of the Lord, he has this propensity to cleanse you and to mold you and
like
to shape
Isaiah.
You.
I have the fear of the Lord, and I'm not ashamed of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of him, but I have the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need the fear of the Lord back in our churches.
Yes, amen.
And there's something, it was the fear of the Lord, but it brought, as you were preaching about the protection, like there was I don't think the enemy was anywhere near. I really, in that moment, I know he comes to church and tries to cause havoc, but in that moment of obedience and focusing on the Lord, Psalms 91 moment, resting under the shadow of his wing, I don't know. I was really trying to tune in and figure out like what's going on here, Lord. And the protection, I felt that. I sensed that. The unity, I think there's just something about, I don't know, something about that hedge.
Yeah. And I think that it brings you, when you have the fear of the Lord, it is the protection, it is the cleansing, it is also the courage. It's, you know, you think about Isaiah, he saw the Lord seated on his throne and he was, woe is me, ooh, and he got it, he was cleansed.
Yeah.
But seeing just like Paul and Silas last year, there was something about, or last week, it's been a long week.
It's been
a waiting
long
on
year.
A smoothie, it's been a year.
It's been but, next year before I get to drink my smoothie.
But it's just like them, you know, the our response to him always brings us to that place of, who shall we send? Send me.
You know the song. The song comes to me right now that I can only imagine, and I think that could be birthed out of the fear of the Lord. You know, what will I do? You know, I'll be undone. What will I do? Will I stand? Will I kneel? Will I fall flat on my face, or will I start shouting?
Right.
What will I do? Because I'm coming before a holy God.
Right.
Yeah.
That loves me though.
That loves me. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I Sunday morning, I shared this a little bit behind the pulpit, but there was like, and I was talking to somebody, but I won't say names who I was talking to, but Sunday morning, I looked back in the middle, about the second song of worship, and I just seen the group of kids back in the back right talking and on their phones and goofing off, and I can't control anything else, but I went and got off all five of my kids. Now, my sixth kid, he's upstairs. He's very faithful to do slides, and he just does it diligently, and he loves to do it, actually. My other five, though, and I wasn't, like, mean, but I was like, you're coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm done with this. Like, it was almost like my spirit was offended that morning. And so I was like, I can't control anybody else right now, but I can control my kids. And so my kids went up there, and they're going to start sitting on the front pew every morning with me from now on. And, you know, I can't make them have a relationship with the Lord, but I can say, hey, this is the house of the Lord, and we're going to worship. If he died for us, least we can do is worship him for this 1 hour and a half, 2 hours. And I was talking to this person about it, and, you know, they were in consensus, like, yeah, but they said, and I don't mean to say this to pick or be derogatory, but they said, Aaron, as much as you're trying to correct your kids, I look back and I seen 15 or 20 adults back there on their phone talking during worship too. And I was like, that's not to pick on people. That's to say the fear of the Lord have left the house of the Lord.
Yes.
We have no reverence for the presence of God and the glory of God.
Or what he wants to do.
We treat him too familiar.
Yes.
We treat him too lightly. We
Amen.
Treat his presence too lightly.
Amen.
When we come to the house of the Lord, there is times of fellowship. There is times. But whenever we come to the house of the Lord to worship, it's not just to make friends, and it's not to love, hate, like shake hands and hug neck. All that stuff happens in its right time. But it's time we come together to worship God Almighty. There should be a reverence. There should be, and I'm not talking like we're solemn and quiet. I mean that we're revering his presence. We're going to worship. We're centered. We're honed in.
He's the attention.
He is our singular purpose that morning, to see him, all of his glory. And I was convicted as a father of my conviction for allowing my kids to do it for so long, and they won't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't say they'll never talk or anything like that, but we have come together, as me and my wife say, they're going to sit with me on the front pews.
Yeah.
It's not a discipline or trouble or punishment. It's like, if we don't teach our kids the fear of the Lord, and it's not about being legalistic or religious. I'm not trying to force them into a relationship. I can't do that. Jesus has to lead them into that relationship with them. But we can instill principles that this is the house of the Lord. And that same principle's got to be at home. That same principle's got to be everywhere. But it should start first in the house of the Lord.
That's
We've got to teach them to honor the presence of the Lord and honor the glory of God, that it's not a social event. It's not a social club. It's not a hangout time with friends. This is a time where we come worship God Almighty.
When I was a kid, if we were misbehaving on any row, the preacher would say he didn't care if I was his kid or not.
So
he's like,
times,
Karen, you get up here. Karen, you come on up here and say.
And also, when you did that, it also sets an example.
Yes.
Whether people are going to do it or not, I don't know. But I think it set an example of my children. This is the way it needs to be done. Because honestly, no offense at all, Pastor Aaron, if you let your kids run all over the church, the pastor's kids do it, then everybody else's kids are going to run all over the church because the pastor's kids do it. So it's not a big deal. He don't care. You know, like I'm a big stickler, and y'all are going to laugh at me, and I don't like children on the stage running around. Mm-hmm. I think it's not a disrespectful thing. It's one thing they could get hurt, or one thing they could knock something over. But I think it's, and we are not exalting anything, you know. I just think there is a place of honor to where the minister is ministering. I mean, we can go into all kind of stuff, and it's not legalism. It's an area of don't disrespect running around all over the place.
Well,
like that.
It can be legalism. But if you don't explain what's going on.
Exactly. And I mean that in balance.
There need to be a purpose.
Yeah, I mean that in balance. I don't mean that no kid can ever go on the stage. I'm just saying, you know, I used to tell mine, I better not catch you running around on the stage, you know, because to me it's just, even though we don't exalt the stage, it's not what I'm saying, it's a place where the Word of God is coming forth.
I think that's the key, is like running around.
Right.
Yes. Like there's a difference if the Lord lead the Holy Spirit moves on kids.
Oh,
and if
yes,
that's happening,
definitely.
You can tell the difference than just running around. And
I thought
know.
It was precious little Oakley went up when
yeah,
when Jay, they took her off, but she was there with her daddy as he was giving a word. She was standing
yes.
next to him, you know, and I thought that was awesome.
It was
that,
precious.
Yes,
she wasn't
was.
Destroying
no,
anything.
No.
Just,
yeah.
Now, I have fussed at my kids many times for running around the church. many a times, especially my older ones. I'm like, what in the world do you think you're doing right now? But
well,
but
we
I
had
did,
two young adults running around the church.
But you need to lead them in a run.
Yeah.
At least it was after service. Yeah.
Let them get that energy out. Yeah.
It's not about like, you know, it's not just about like the legalistic side of like we're in complete
no.
control. It's about reverence. But right. we've got to. And if that only happens in the church, that's probably where legalism then is.
Right.
Because what happens in the sanctuary should bleed over into all of our life.
Right.
It should influence. So the same reverence we have for the presence of the Lord in the church is the same reverence we should have when we're in our car.
Right.
But we teach it somewhere. We have to start somewhere with the teaching. And the house of the Lord, just teaching our kids like to honor the Word of God,
right.
to honor worship.
Right.
Personally, and I know I'm very much in the lower consensus of this, I believe once a kid gets to 5 years old, they should always be in the sanctuary for a service. Mm-hmm. I think Sunday school is incredible. I'm not a huge proponent of children's church.
Right.
I think once they get to five, at that point, we teach them to respect mm-hmm. and honor the house and honor the Word of God, because I don't remember a lot of sermons. I will remember that. But the few years I was in church as a kid was young. I mean, I was young, but I remember things.
Right.
It sowed something into my life, seeing the seeking mm-hmm. of. I understand 2 and 3 and 4 in nursery and getting them. They love to run. They love to do that. But once they get to 5, I believe they should have enough mm-hmm. enough discipline and structure that they can sit.
Right.
They may have to go to the bathroom once. We may give them a coloring book or something
right.
like that. We do the gift bags every Sunday for our kids, and they get a toy, they get a coloring book, they get candy, they get something. Every kid who comes in our sanctuary that's, I don't know, we usually cut it off about 10 or 11 or under, they get a bag. So they get a bag every Sunday morning. I'm not against all that, but I do think it's healthy for them to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we as parents, and we can say, well, we just want the parents to worship. Part of worshiping is parenting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It,
amen.
You know, and sometimes I've been there. I've been there preaching with other people's kids in my arms. I have worshiped with baby on my hip. I've worshiped with that. It's part of parenting. It's part of the responsibility. And we can't always just let somebody else do our job. Mm-hmm. And you can see now in society where we've had a generation that was failed to be parented, now parenting, and you can see the drop in society. Mm-hmm. You can see the disrespect, the dishonor, the morality that's dropped. The, you know, just look at the honor that the culture is lacking.
Yeah.
We can't even, I mean, if we have a difference in opinion, we can't get along with each other at all. We can't coincide with one another. There's such
yeah.
hate and
mm-hmm.
division.
Mm-hmm.
If you make me mad, I'm going to rebel. If you don't give me my political agenda I want to do, I'm going to go burn down buildings. We're going to go protest.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be mature about it. And it's all because really we failed to take up our mantle as parents so often. We've let something else parent. And I get it. Like, I'm there a lot of the days.
Yeah.
We're stressed. We're overworked. We're busy. We're all these kind of things. But this is the day that if we don't start to turn the tide.
Right.
And that's what I was, my spirit was convicted. Myself was convicted. Not just mad at my kids. I was mad at myself. Like, what have you done? Like, mm-hmm. you've just let them sit back there and do this. And Miss Crystal, you're right. Like, I've owned that in my own life in the last few days. it, I can't control. I guess I could tell every kid to go back there, but instead of doing that, just being the dictator in the house, I want to set the example.
Be the model.
And I want to set that example. And as the pastor of the house or a pastor of the house, I think how I let my kids act mm-hmm. will influence. But it's not about control or legalism or religiosity. It's about honoring and fearing the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is clean. And even that scripture that he protects, he has hedge of protections around those who live in the fear of the Lord.
Well, you're training them up in the way they should go. And it's not an easy thing to make a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, excuse me, sit down and be still, especially in today's society. And a lot of parents can't control their children anyway. And, you know, but my dad used to say the exact same thing you're saying is, you know, in the Jewish culture, even today, when children are 12 years old, you know, they go through the males go through the bar mitzvah, they can quote scripture. They are really considered a man at that time. You know, as you are moving into adulthood at 12 years old, some of our 12-year-olds are not and couldn't read the whole whatever I can't remember what they read, you know, the whole thing when they recite and they learn. Yes, a lot of that is religion. Some of it is legalism. I don't know. But I'm just saying we took, you know, because one time I don't know how much time we have either, but I remember I was raised Catholic. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying I believe in, there's a lot of beautiful Christian Catholic Christians. And what I'm saying in that is I went back, I got into the full gospel where we're free. Well, I went back to a wedding, I think it was, or something at a Catholic church. And I said, you know, the one thing that I miss is the reverence and the holiness when you walk into a place where it's peaceful and it's quiet. I get some things, okay? But what I'm saying is, I said, I miss the respect mm-hmm. that sometimes we lose in a we're free type of atmosphere mm-hmm. where it does. I don't want to go to legalism. I am not about legalism at all. Y'all know I'm pretty free also. But there comes a time when it's time to train our children that you will honor when someone is speaking. And I think it's lacking in our society. You know, you will honor when the word of God is being brought forth, and you will honor when worship. Maybe you don't want to worship. You know, I should tell my kids, you may not want to do it, and that's okay. You know, there'll come a time when you do, but you better be sitting still and not distracting anybody else around you. You let them worship. And that's what it's about, too. Sometimes our teenagers are distracting, or not just teenagers, kids, whatever, are distracting. Yeah, grown-ups talking, mm-hmm. being on their phone, are distracting others around them.
Yeah. I think a big place we see this come out now, and, you know, you say there's a proper time. Like, we had a worship time last night that we hooped, we hollered,
that's right.
we danced,
that's
we,
right.
we were in it. But then when folks started getting prayed for.
That's right.
When folks started getting saved. Okay, now this is a whole different thing.
That's right.
And you tell your children, this is what I told mine, well, we have to, right now, let's hold up because
right.
somebody mm-hmm. might get
That's
saved
right,
right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what mm-hmm. is it about, and every church does it, so please don't think I'm talking about our church, your church, anybody's church. When we say, you know, was anybody like prayer? Everybody starts talking and leaves. And it's like, what? And it's
That's
in
on
a lot
us.
Of churches.
It's on us.
Yeah. It's like, this is the time to be holy. Maybe you don't need prayer, but what about those that do? You know, and I'm just as guilty sometimes. You know, I'm not acting like I got it all together here. Please don't think I'm criticizing or doing anything like that. But, you know, where's the reverence and the fear of the Lord that we once had?
We've got to have it. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that God said, have it.
That's right.
You know, he said, have it.
He said it was beginning of
yeah,
wisdom.
Yeah, and okay. and see, the thing is that there are things that we do and don't do that are, according to God, they're expected, they're required, they're whatever. But there are things, and you know, you're talking about the children being in the church. If they hadn't been in the church, they would have missed what happened
right.
yesterday or Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that there are some things that we do and don't do that God says the opposite. And if God said what he, I mean, it's his order. This is his plan. This is the way he said it will work for you. Mm-hmm. And we have got to adhere to that. And again, I'm not trying to be, this is a good thing to know. It's not a, it's not a criticism. It's a lifting up. It's an elevating, it's a purpose and
raising the hedge.
Like, and it's got to be that way in order for us to be what he said we are.
It's conviction, not condemnation.
Exactly.
I think we forget that how susceptible kids are to spiritual warfare, too.
That's right.
I mean, they're easy prime targets for the enemy, especially the younger they are. But I think the Lord wants to remind us, like, when the standard is set, when the hedge is raised, we will start to see the difference in the kids. It's going to be a ripple effect. We've seen it before when God moved. It was a ripple effect. When they see some kids doing it, eventually the more kids that do it, more fall in line with it. And, you know, I know you all understand from raising young kids, but it's easy to get, like, stressed out when they're being loud and they're little and you're afraid if it's distracting people. But what the Lord has shown me, too, is when there is that reverence and when the presence of the Lord, when we've raised the standard, it really does bring a hush.
Calming. Yes.
A calmness to the little ones. And I'm not saying that something might not happen every once in a while, but it just seems like when we're really seeking the Lord and we are in his presence, the standard is the hedge is raised, that it really does cause that peace to come on the kids that are in with us.
You know,
we've seen it in prayer meetings too.
I wonder back in the Old Testament when it would talk about them standing for hours while there was the preaching going on. They stood there for hours. I wonder what the kids were doing then.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I got two scriptures I want to read because they're opposites, but they're right. Mm-hmm. In Psalms 25, he said, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." Then it says in Psalms 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." See, that came out of Psalms 25.
Right.
"And who shall I fear?" Mm-hmm. "What? I thought we're supposed to fear." Well, you are. Just one, though.
Right.
Just one. "Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life." Where did it come from? In the fear of him. Mm-hmm. It really came from there. Mm-hmm. And whom shall I be afraid?
It's a David story right there. You know,
on.
Who is this uncircumcised? You know,
why?
He doesn't have a covenant
right.
with
right.
God. And, I mean, David wasn't afraid.
It goes over into Hebrews where it says, now, you know, if you want to fear something, fear this.
Yeah.
fear not entering into the promises that God has made.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid of that. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that God has said something and I didn't receive it, take hold of it, and have it in my life when I could have.
That's right.
I mean, I'm afraid of that. Yeah. I don't mind saying I'm afraid of
it. Fear of missing out.
And see, that again, that is not, that there's a fear of him in it, but it's also a desire and a longing and I want it. I got to have it. It's everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everything in him is everything. I don't know how to say it any other way.
I don't want to step too far back, but Ms. Crystal, you had said something about 12 years old and the mitzvah, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Or
bar mitzvah.
What, and how they could quote scripture. We are really I've always said this, the natural follows the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And in the spirit, for many years now in the American church, we've had what would be, I call, prolonged adolescence within the spirit. Mm-hmm. We just give people permission to stay immature.
Mm-hmm.
And we give people permission. And it's the same thing in the natural. We're the first generation, really, first society that's ever had teenage adolescence. Because up until this point, when a boy turned 12, 13, they were expected to work. They were growing up. Like,
a lot of them had to drop out of school.
Little House in the Prairie days, they were getting married at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. And I'm not like advocating like that kind of stuff all the way, but I am saying there was a expectation to mature. When I was in Africa just a few years ago, I mean, 5-year-old little kids are taking care of their baby siblings.
Right. I saw it.
We give people permission in America to stay kids.
Yeah.
And we're doing the same thing in the spirit.
And now they're 41.
And they're still adolescents living with mommy and daddy.
Or they go off to college and their spiritual life is really needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're just starting.
Yeah.
And they get eat up.
And that's why 4% of youth will stay in church when they go to college. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you have a 100-kid youth group, 4 kids are going to continue in their faith.
Right.
Why? Because they don't have a mature relationship
right.
with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very, because we've given them permission. We're like, well, we're just going to keep you coming back by giving you games, activities, programs. We're not going to give you something of substance. We're just
right.
going to give you something to entertain you. And unless it draws energy, expectation, fun, well, that's not it. Because what we've done is we said the world offers fun and entertainment. So now the church does have to keep them coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The church's
Christian
draw
church,
was
Christian
never
world.
Entertainment. The church draw was the power of the Holy
That's
Spirit.
Right.
We don't come with the man's words of man's wisdom. We're not coming with programs.
Mm-hmm.
We're not coming with all these kind of things. All of those things may have a place, but the thing that changes people is the power of the
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, come on. And you know, Abraham, I said this scripture the other day. God said this about his friend Abraham. He said, I know him. He will teach his children. Whew, that it carried a whole lot of weight with God.
And you know, I remember being in a Bible study at Pearl's house.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a girl there that was coming. She was new to the faith and everything. And she was coming, and I mean, this girl took notes like it. She was insane. She'd fill up
a
notebook about every time.
And she'd stop you. Uh-huh. What'd you say right there?
Uh-huh. But here's the thing. She was like, I don't understand. Just keep coming. I mean, that's what she said. Just keep coming. It doesn't matter if you understand. And that would be a child. Now, she was older, but she was in her walk
faith.
With the Lord. Mm-hmm. She was a child. She didn't get it. But she was a babe.
Yeah, yeah.
But the story, or it came back to her, just keep coming. And again, it would begin to build. It would begin to infiltrate. It would begin to soak in. And it did.
Just be in the room.
Mm-hmm. And
I just want to be in the room.
That's the way the children need to be. It's just like that. I remember standing there one time, and we were worshiping the Lord, and there was a couple standing up there, had a little one-year-old. And Mom over here had her arm up like that. And
there
goes
the baby.
And there he was. He was just observing her. And then his daddy did the same thing. And I mean, this infant was all over it. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But they were teaching their child in the way they should go.
And I heard, I think it was Karen Wheaton had said one time, she said, your children need to hear you praying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said she was in a room or somewhere in her house. And she was in spiritual warfare. She was interceding and just going on. And her little girl, I think, was standing there or something. And she kind of was going to stop just to see. And then she said, the Holy Spirit convicted her. No, you just keep doing what you're doing. She's watching everything
mm-hmm.
you're doing. Mm-hmm. And they need to know how to pray. And children need to know how to say, in the name of Jesus,
right.
I come against you. You know, they need to know and not just be something they say. Oh, did you hear what she said? It's so cute. To know what they're doing in the heavenlies, you know.
They're not prepared for those kind of things.
Right.
And if we don't do it, then they don't know to do it, or they're backwards about it, or they're self-conscious about it. They need to be told you can say this and expect God to hear you
right.
and to move.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you many times I've seen moms worshiping and the little one will look up and start to worship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night there was some kids, and they were a little bit rowdy that night, and they were kind of running around, and and I get it. Like, I am like, if they're goofing off or running around, I want to call them down too. Now, if they're raising banners or they're worshiping or something like that,
that's different.
You can stick it in a religious pocket if you think kids
mm-hmm.
shouldn't worship or something
like
that. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're up there waving banners, look, no one in this room, no one in this church has been smacked in the face by more banners than me. I get the kids in that corner. I get smacked in the face all the time, but even if their heart's like not fully understand, they're doing it. They're worshiping. Mm-hmm. They're not back there playing on cell phones or talking.
Right.
They're at least they got a banner up there. And but if they're running around, like, you know, and I've been the first one to say, shh, or hey, come on, let's go over here. But that night I was just like, you know what, let's I grabbed the three that were talking and ran around. I said, let's just come down here with me and pray. And so I was on my knees worshiping, and those three just got down on their knees right next to me.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I lifted my hands and singing. I look over and they're all lifting their hands and singing.
That's right.
We've got to set the example. Mm-hmm. But if kids are looking around the sanctuary, seeing mom and dad on their cell phones or talking to their neighbor, mm-hmm. and to the listener that said they were on their cell phones taking notes, I wasn't talking necessarily about the sermon part, because I do understand a lot of people's on their phones.
Do. Yeah.
But this was during worship that, you know, that person saw 15, 20 people just sitting there talking to their neighbor on their cell phones. I don't know who said it, but whenever I'm seeing 50 people up at their altar praying and seeking the Lord and tears falling down their face, and then I see people, especially leaders or especially people who are teachers or in ministry, mm-hmm. sitting back there just chit-chatting like it's no big deal, no wonder we don't have a move of God.
That's
we don't
right.
honor
That's
the
right.
move of God.
That's
we don't
right.
honor the Spirit
did
of God.
See, yeah. Did y'all see on Facebook this week or last week? Last week. And there was just a picture. I didn't even read the article, but it just showed where all this youth in this church put all their cell phones on the altar. Did anybody see it?
I've mm-hmm. seen it. A picture
yeah,
of
it. Was just,
before.
It wasn't they were giving them up. They were giving them up for the service.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome. Before. It was just awesome to see. You know?
Well, I'm giving up my smoothie this morning.
But no, you're right. The people say, well, I need my phone because that's my Bible. Mm-hmm. Well, I see this. You're typing and typing and typing. Yeah. So unless you're rewriting the Bible, there might be a little something off here.
I use my phone Bible a lot, but if I start making duck faces, y'all better correct me.
Yeah.
We got our eye on you, girl.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not like torturous to your kids to make them be respectful and honorable. Mm-hmm. Like these same kids that they're talking to, like, well, this time to be with my friends. They're on the phone with them all week, whether it's social media or games, they're interacting already. This is a time where we come together and say, this is the time we're going to honor the presence of the Lord. Now, there was this indignation that's rise up to me, like, Jesus can die for us and we can't be quiet for 5 minutes in a worship song. And so I know we got to go break. We are at that hard break, but
it's there's a lot of interaction. There's such a needed conversation, and that's what a lot of people are saying.
But let me say this, and I don't mean to cut you off. Before we hark on kids, we need to look in the mirror, because we are the example.
Amen.
Men and
They're
women of God,
you.
Don't be crushing on kids if you're not going to set the example.
Well, I mean, that's right. You know, we used to say this, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but we used to say, you know, because we had the youth ranch back here, we'd say we need one for the parents. You know, we need a youth ranch.
Send your mom and dad to the ranch.
We need one for the 35-year-old that's still living in mommy and daddy's basement. Like,
come on,
let's. This is the prolonged adolescence, and we're doing the same thing in the church. We're not getting people to grow up. Mm-hmm. And Paul's frustrations coming into modern day Revelation and saying, what? You should be on meat and you're still on the bottle.
No, that's right.
Stop acting like boys and start acting like men.
Yeah.
When I became a man, I put away the childish things.
That's right.
And that's a word to all of
us.
I'm including me.
Yes.
This is all of us. This ain't like harking on it. Like, I was under conviction Sunday morning because of the lack of the fear of the Lord.
Exactly.
That I was allowing in my kids' life. Even if I can say I have the fear of the Lord up there, but if I'm allowing it in my kids' life, who I'm responsible to parent, it's on me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We've got to read this first trivia, go to heartbreak. And then we're going to get the second trivia. We're still going to get both of these this morning. Whose sons were called dukes? Whose sons were called dukes? A little bit tougher, but whose sons were called dukes? We're going to continue forth. 270-257-2689. We're going to be right back here after the break. Whose sons were called dukes?
8-11. But what got me as we're talking, I was reminded of this scripture. And it shepherding the flock. And I know he's talking to elders. I know he's talking to leaders of the church. But as parents and shepherds of your home and mothers that are, you know, in the home doing things, it says to exercise oversight. And, you know, we can criticize and we can say, but a lot of the times this generation that we're in, we didn't do an excellent job at maybe being as disciplined because of the abuse maybe of the generation before. You know what I'm saying? There was such a strict way that relationship got lost in it. And so we come into the next.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The next generation is, well, we want all relationship, but there was no discipline. Right. You know, there was no right. order. And so now we're in a generation of my grandchildren or y'all's, you know, my children and my grandchildren that are not, and not all, please don't, you know, I have some that are very organized and disciplined, but there's this mindset in the earth, in the world, not in my, just our families, that, you know, you just need to be your children's friends, or we need mm-hmm. to just be gentle. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's just a good butt whooping yeah. they need. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it just like that.
The danger hurt anybody.
It's very dangerous to just only want your kids to feel good about themselves.
Right.
It's a dangerous thing because we're, you know, as they follow the Lord, what they're going to find is that life doesn't come unless they deny themselves.
Right.
That true life in the Lord will not be there for them unless they surrender and submit themselves to God. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. is it a real life for them to have and feel good about themselves? Here's the only way you can feel good about yourself. You feel good about who he is in
That's
you
right.
and who you are in him.
Yeah.
Then life really begins. Mm-hmm. You're not going to fall short of anything. You might lose out on some heartache.
That's right.
That's right. where your confidence comes from.
Right, but right.
Your confidence. Comes from
but you
him
see it
you,
in the church
him.
All the time. Yeah. People just want everybody to feel good about
right,
themselves.
Right.
And
well,
it's false.
And don't say nothing to anybody. Don't
right,
correct
right.
anybody. Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But it says exercise oversight. Mm-hmm. That means sometimes you have to instruct somebody. Sometimes, yeah. like Pastor Aaron, he had to go get his kids and say, you're going to come up here on the front row. He wasn't mean to them. I mean, they followed him like little ducks right behind him. They all walked up there and they sat down. They weren't, to me, I don't know them.
She called your kids ducks. I'm just saying.
I said they look like little ducks. But I'm just saying, they didn't look like they were mad. They didn't look like right. they were pouting. They just said, well, Daddy said so. We're
they
sitting
were
down.
Obeying. They yeah. looked like children. So.
And you can't obeying. Tell me that that didn't bring a holy something to those parents, a reverence, or like, ooh, where's my kid at? You know, because right. I saw a couple of them turn around like, uh-oh, where's my kid at?
You know, that's the thing. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about how they had been church hurt. Buh.
Don't get us started on that.
You know,
you'll have Gretchen in here in a minute.
Again.
No, that's burnout.
Yeah, that's burnout. But again, you know, that is someone who is still living like a child. Mm-hmm. They are older. They have grandchildren. But they were offended by something that was said that they
or
didn't
done,
like.
Or done.
Yeah.
Now you're opening a can of worms, you know.
Well, but again, I think this is something that we have to understand because again, there that you can see how that has affected. It is in the world. So offense, and again, mm-hmm. we talked about it a little bit, but you know, the thing of it is that it's all those things. What did God say about that?
That's right.
What did he say about
right.
that?
Blessed are those who are not offended
mm-hmm.
at me.
Right.
That we're, he said offenses will
right.
come.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, one of the things that I think I've probably said it here before, but I remember one time I was sitting in church and I looked back and I saw somebody and I began to get riled up because of something.
Right.
And I began to mumble under my breath and under myself. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, you know, you don't have to hold that against them.
Mm, man, that's
you don't have to hold
slam,
that against. I mean, but the thing of it is, but it was freeing.
Yeah, amen.
Because he said it, and I'm like, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that goes back to what Pastor Aaron's saying is we're keeping people in an adolescent
mm-hmm.
mentality.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right.
You know, where
right.
the Jewish culture, you're a man at 12. Mm-hmm. You know, our kids, mm-hmm. they might make it at 25, you know.
And not just physically. There's
right.
adults
yes.
right.
who are babes in Christ
That's
and
right.
did not grow. Did
That's
not
right.
grow.
Because mm-hmm. of offense or because of something that held them back.
That.
Yeah, and it's up to me as, like you say, we oversee. We're parenting still. I parent some people that are over 50.
Right.
And you look at them and you go, hey, you really can't afford
That's
what
exactly
you're doing
right.
There.
And again,
yeah,
it's not out of just, it's not out of a criticism. It's not out of a
no.
condemnation. It's because you see this is for their safety.
Yeah, there's no life in what
Mm-mm,
you're doing right
no.
there.
No. Yeah. And it's yeah. for their protection and it's the wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, in verse,
wisdom of God.
But, you know, in verse 3, it says, not domineering over those in your charge. And I think, I don't know, I wasn't there, but in generations past, it was a domineering thing maybe that happened, and so a lot of people got hurt. It says, but be examples to the flock, or be examples to your family, and maybe that wasn't there for you. So you didn't see godly things. You didn't see maturity. You didn't see seasoned people. You didn't see, you know, things. So you just managed, and you did it. But I really believe God is, you know, through all of this that we're saying, God is telling us it's time to grow up. Mm-hmm. It's time to get order, even in the church, not just one church, all churches, the body of Christ needs to say, you know, it's time to start exercising oversight. And those of us that know better, or God speaking to us in whatever ministry we're in, not under compulsion, pray about it, ask God, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples mm-hmm. to the flock, being examples of, or helping those parents or whoever in your church that maybe can't handle their kid, quite honestly, go sit with them yeah. and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be here with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk through this thing with mm-hmm. you. And we're going to get these children to where they can sit still. We're going to get these, you know, whatever it is, or your 50-year-olds. Right. Jeannie's doing that. I'm walking with you, but I'm exercising oversight in the fact that it's time for you to grow up in Jesus. It's time for you to grow up in the Word.
And, you know, this is a question I ask a lot. Anybody out there that knows me knows I ask this question a lot. What will it take for you to mm-hmm. give up and run out? Mm-hmm. What will it take to knock you off, put you on the sidelines? Because mm-hmm. you got to know, because Satan already knows. Yep. And so which offense, mm-hmm. which situation in the church, which thing, what's it take for you to go, that's it, I'm out of here.
That's right.
You, because you better know that that is your enemy. Mm-hmm. And he's after you. You might be getting ready to jump up and run mm-hmm. out, but where are you running out to?
Yeah.
He's leading you somewhere. See it for what it is. He's leading you. Can you leave a church? Yeah, of course. But you can leave because God called you to
something else.
It's a whole different thing.
Yes, it is.
A whole different thing.
Yes, it is.
So it's a temper tantrum in the spirit is what yeah. it is.
And pastors have to walk on eggshells a lot of times yeah. because of the society that you're dealing with. But, you know, and I thank God for Pastor and others around here that we know that it's like we're going to move forward. And if you go with us, that's great. But if you don't, we want the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You know, Azusa keeps staying on the brain with me ever since I read that story. But, you know, all he did is he put his head in the box and started praying on the altar. Mm-hmm. And people started coming, you know. And I guarantee you their children weren't running around the church because the presence of God was so mm-hmm. strong. And so we, as we begin to pray, we don't just go in with a bunch of rules and laws and start right now. You know, we go in to start praying.
Right. Who knows what the Holy Spirit wants
that's
to
right.
do.
That's right. That's right.
He may put your pastor on the altar before the preaching, and
right.
he don't get up. What are you going to do? I guarantee you, eventually, the yeah. whole church is going to be on the altar.
That's right. That's right.
Just stay with it.
What would happen in a church service? let's just, because Pastor Aaron's here, Sunday morning we get up, and, you know, maybe we had our worship time or whatever, but when it's time to preach, Pastor Aaron just goes on the altar and just starts praying.
Right.
Everybody going to start, what would happen? We'd all start looking around at each other.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, yeah, what's yeah. wrong with him? Who's going to do what?
The spirit's
you know?
Moving. Right.
Or are we going to say, you know what? Something's going on here. Yeah. Let's start doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Let's start seeing what God, do we have to, I mean, are we, I know there are young people that come in, when I say that, I mean young in the Lord, young people that come in that need the word every service, but what about sometimes if it's just maybe that person doesn't know how to pray? Are we teaching them how to pray?
It's the word of the Lord, you know? I mean, for today. And, you know, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. But I keep thinking about this person I was talking about that left a church because they were offended. And, of course, the whole family went.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sad part about it is this person, these people were involved in the youth people, and so when they left, it affected everything. But you need to be real careful about the price you put on your relationship with the Lord. You've put a price on it when you do stuff like that. And I mean, everything that you do, it's going to cost you something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't put a price on your relationship with the Lord just because someone said something that you didn't like. Somebody did something that you didn't like. Don't be so immature
but think you're grown up, but you've just put a price on your relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You've decided that it is worth this or not worth this. Mm-hmm. And you've decided according to a man's standard, mm-hmm. not a spiritual standard, not a holy standard, not any of that stuff. I mean, it's just be careful. Yeah. Just
there's
be careful.
A time. There is, you know, what, say you've been that person that you, you know, your church hurt, you're offended, you're whatever. Well, that just wasn't right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go from there. Now what? Well, I mean, Jesus pretty well cleared all those things up
right.
by saying, pray.
Right.
Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully persecute you and
love
and use you and love the unlovely and all the things. You know, he didn't leave no wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
Start praying.
Right.
Start praying for the one that's giving you grief. And then what? And it's not going to change. It's not going to tell. Okay, then seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Seek the Lord. Is he calling you out of this situation? Let him call you out of it, but make sure that you hit your knees and prayed for them first.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, you can't be led. You're being led not by the Spirit of God, but by the circumstance.
That's right.
And it's got you going in a wrong direction.
Yeah. Right.
How do I know these things?
Yeah,
been there, done that.
Both sides. Well, and the thing that we need to, you know, let everyone know is that we're not talking about just going around and start, you know, giving rules and laws and all that.
Oh, no.
We're saying pray in the Holy Spirit. Just begin to ask God. And, you know, and begin to say, you know, Lord, what, how do I approach this? You know, Pastor Aaron doesn't need to go and say, I want everybody to do what I'm telling you. You know, that would cause problems. It, you know, because of our society today, they wouldn't listen, you know. But what I'm saying is that as we pray and say, God, how do we begin to turn this thing around? How do we begin to instruct children or immature adults or adolescents that, you know, how do we approach this by the Holy Spirit so that it is done in order, so that it is done as exercising oversight and not them thinking we're trying to control.
Right. You know? we're gonna pray.
Right.
And then we're gonna be led by the Spirit of God.
That's
and
right.
So right in the middle of a service or as you start one or whatever, the Lord's gonna say, you know, have them do this today.
Yeah.
And then in this moment, it's Spirit-led.
Right.
It's not you making a rule.
Right.
Because, see, I guarantee you there's people right now that's listening to us that are thinking that we're bringing the law.
Right.
We're bringing the rules. But we're not. We're bringing the life that a fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord, will bring to
that's
you.
Right.
You know, it says in the Word that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Mm-hmm.
There's still obedience.
There's still laws.
That's right.
You know, it's still there. But if you're obeying what he says and following his dictate, you are redeemed from the curse. Go to the Old Testament. It'll show you. You can read what the curses are. You've been redeemed from those things by obedience to his law.
That's right.
And you do that by the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
Because we couldn't keep the rules. We couldn't.
Mm-mm.
And Jesus knew it.
And we can make them, if we don't do it by the Spirit of the Lord, we can make them a rope around your neck or my neck.
Right. Look, I don't want to sin. Let's just get that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to find a way to get around it. I don't want to be loose with it. And you should not want to be loose with it either. That's just no-brainer. Why? Because sin leads to death.
and it blocks your prayers and it blocks your relationship with the Lord.
Blocks
there's always going to be something that hinders you from moving into the presence or from just talking with God because you got that guilt thing or you got that thing that's hanging over you or you know you did wrong or whatever, you know. And so, you know, when you're clean, you know, and you ask the Lord, wash me white as snow, God, as it says in the Scriptures. Lord, cleanse me.
Reason
yes.
together.
Cleanse me, Lord, so that we can stay reasoning together.
Right, right.
We can stay. And so as we instruct people, we have to remember that love and show them. But the thing that started all of this is the reverence that needs to be in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do as the flock? I mean, as the shepherds of the flock. You know, when we say that, that doesn't mean I'm a leader or you're a leader or whatever. That means we're the ones that can, we see a problem and with permission from the pastor, whatever, we can help instruct and help parents and help whatever needs to be instructed. If we need to tell all the teenagers, lay down your phone on the altar, I'm just whatever, Pastor. I'm just using examples. Then, and the Lord tells us to do that.
They may have done that.
And the Lord tells us to do that, then we need to do it to bring order and reverence back to the church.
It's all how you handle yourself, and you're handling yourself by example, right, not by do what I say.
Right.
And so, you know, there's been many times that, you know, we're like, hey, shh.
Yeah.
Well, they're praying right now. Or,
right.
Hey, hold up a minute. He's leading somebody to the Lord. I've said that to adults around
right.
me.
Right.
And I can't remember right off, but I'm pretty sure that was probably said to me at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Jeannie, shh.
Yeah.
And that's not offense.
No.
It's kind of like,
oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
oops,
yeah.
sorry, you know. Yeah. And that's
God's
that's,
moving. Wait
that
a minute.
That should be our attitude. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, not, what, did you hear how she talked to me? You know, that shouldn't be our attitude. It should be of like, oh, sorry, I didn't. Oh, my goodness. We should be, oh, no, I don't want to hinder what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying is make sure we're not hindering what God's trying to do in the service. And anything that hinders the move of God, anything that hinders the anointing and the presence of God, we should be willing to say, let's correct that.
Yeah, if we're just gonna talk to each other about everything under the sun and do everything and just have a looseness all the time,
right,
then the Spirit of God, how's he going to move, y'all?
Right.
How's he going to do anything? Because nobody's got their attention on him.
That's right. It's like that old little saying that used to say where the homeless man was outside the church sitting there, and Jesus comes along and he says, Jesus, they won't let me in there. He says, don't worry.
They won't let me in either.
That's right.
Do we want that, or do we want God?
Holy Spirit, you're welcome.
Yeah, here is a place for you, God, that we have set up for you. Mm-hmm. We are not perfect, but here we humbly come to you, and we're saying, God, you know, move in this place. We desire to talk with you, to walk with you, to worship you and honor
follow.
You. And nothing should hinder that.
I say this personally to the Lord all the time, but while we're talking about this, I'm thinking, what if a whole church had this mindset?
Right.
I say to the Lord, especially toward the altar time, I'll go, Lord, what do you want to do here?
Uh-huh.
What do you want to do? You know, at the beginning of church, I'm in a room in the back going, Lord, move in this house today.
Mm-hmm, right.
Help us make room for you. Help us to. Yeah, but then when it's time, I'm like, okay, my antennas are up.
Right.
What do you want to say? Who do you want to say it to? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I'm listening, Lord.
Amen.
If we did that as a church?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine.
If every person would answer the question as you're driving to church or as you're getting up, getting ready or making a decision, why am I going to church? Am I going to show everybody my new dress? Am I going to see so-and-so? You know, we should be going to say, God, I honor you. Mm-hmm. I worship you. I fear you,
and
God.
Be prepared.
If we would all walk in with that mindset. And, and I don't always do it either. I'm not sitting here floating around acting like, oh, yes, I do all that. It's not what we're saying. But if our goal is, God, I'm running to the church because I need more of your presence, then, wow, can you imagine what's going to, what would happen if we all did that instead of, oh, no, I got to do three songs, or, oh, no, I got to do this, or you know, is this set up, is that set up, and just say, God, I'm just going to honor you.
Yeah. I just want to chime in here real fast, and y'all can continue going forth wherever the Lord. But we did have an answer for the trivia question.
Yeah,
I just want to say,
Amen.
Brother Ramsey did get that correct. Woo-hoo. It was Sadducees. See, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe there was anything left. There was no hope for the future.
Yeah.
And then I have a testimony to report. After all this time, I grabbed a spoon. And I started eating my smoothie.
It's gone.
And then I spilled half of it.
Oh.
And it just came out in one big clump. All that time waiting for my smoothie to thaw out to drink, I said, enough of it. I'm going to eat it. And then I spilled it.
I'm telling you what, it was never meant to be.
We'll pray for you.
I don't know if that's a testimony or not, or a testimony.
I think that's a testimony. I think you're moaning.
But yeah, I think it's a moaning, yeah.
All that time, and I spill it once I grab the spoon.
I saw you cleaning, but I just thought you dripped something.
No, I spilled the whole clump.
Anyway,
half.
But God is good, and the fear of the Lord is good, and his hedge. And that was good what Pastor Aaron taught on Sunday morning about, that there's a hedge of protection. Mm-hmm. There's a hedge when we come in with the mindset of the fear of the Lord, with the fear of the Lord, of saying, God, I don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do anything, God, that's going to hinder you showing up here this morning. Or even in our homes. It should just be on Sunday.
Yeah. Do you want this life? See, Jesus came to give us life, and that life abundantly.
Right.
He's going to give in abundance what life in the kingdom of God is about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want that?
Right.
So it does have stipulations. It does. His gifts is free. Yes, his gift of salvation is free. But the result of that gift brings us into a relationship where our language is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't walk like I used to walk. Why? I'm walking with him.
Right. You know,
it's that important.
It's that verse I was talking about that she sang last night. This is what mercy has done for me. You know, there needs to be a remembrance or a reflecting back on what mercy really did for you, what grace really did for you. And, you know, it is that thing. I mean, everything God does has a result. There's evidence of it. And, you know, this is what mercy did for me.
And this was the result of the free gift. You get a song like Spirit Lead Me.
Right.
You get a song that says, if you say it's wrong, I'll say no.
Okay, yeah.
See,
yeah.
It's the heart of it. It's not a rule.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a law. It's a heart of the matter.
It's life.
If God says, I want you to pray for your enemy, that, bless God, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way. Why? I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I love him.
Right.
Not the rule.
Right.
But I love him.
Right.
And his love for me has already been shown and displayed. I know what mercy has done for me. I know the grace that I have in my life. But for the grace of God, this
there.
Old girl's in a gutter somewhere.
Yeah, she looks just like that one.
Yeah. But see, he gave me his mercy and his grace. He got through to me. He drew me, I know, by his spirit showing that he was the one who loved me first.
Right.
Even in the cross, but then again in the, come here to me.
Mm-hmm.
In the draw,
right.
You know. And so now my life, what are you talking about? If God don't like that, I don't like that.
Right.
If God says don't do that, I say, okay, Lord, you'll have to help me. You'll have to help me by your spirit. He said, I'll lead you in it.
You know, that song, again, I'm thinking of all these phrases, break my heart for what breaks yours. You know, I love that. Break my heart for that which breaks yours. I love it.
It is good. It is.
But that's what it's about.
It is. It is.
Ooh, praise God. It got real. There's a holy. Is that the holy hush I was waiting on? Or is that Aaron getting ready to say something?
Hallelujah.
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 No, it's a good word. It's a life word.
Right.
We're not talking about any kind of have to's or don'ts or wants or all that mess. I'm talking about love. Talking about I love him so much.
Right.
He's given me so much. And if he said, if you'll deny yourself, Jeannie, let's get personal.
That's right.
If you'll deny yourself right there in where? In this moment that I'm asking this of you and it goes against what you're used to, if I'll deny me right here, the power of God the love of God and the kingdom of God will be in my life in such a way I'll know life that I've never known.
That's right.
I'll know life. I have known life that I've never known, that I thought I could never know.
That's
when
right.
my peace and the rest and the joy of the Lord struck my soul, and it doesn't matter what happens to me today, that's still there.
Right.
Ooh.
That life that you've never known
and
also that life that you never knew about.
Yeah. I didn't know it could be like this because, you know, how good is it that no matter what comes and things come, hurtful things, hard things to walk through. I know people walking through some hard things today, but they know him.
Right.
And knowing him will make the difference.
Every difference.
And there comes a rest in your soul in the end of this day. Why? Because you're resting in him. You're counting on him, and you won't want anything to mess that up.
Yes.
You don't want anything in your life to interfere with his relationship with you.
That's
and yours with him. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all, this is the life. This is the life,
and
it's his life in you.
That's right.
Man.
Listen. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to finish reading in 1 Peter 5:6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded and watchful. Now, he's talking about the enemy prowling around, but you resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that other people are suffering all through the earth. But what it takes in wanting the fear of the Lord is to humble yourselves, to humble yourselves before God and say, God, I don't know what you want from me, but I want it all. and I want to do what you're telling me to do. So as we humble ourselves and be sober-minded, watchful, watching the Lord, watching out for the enemy, but watching the Lord, as we're saying here today, God is wanting to put a hedge of protection around us individually and as the body of Christ. We can only do that as we submit to the things he's telling us. And for some reason this morning, he has us on the fear of the Lord and the honor that we should bring him. But it's only for our good, like y'all were talking about. It's only for our good because we will look at him different. We will honor him different. We will not want to do the things of the world.
That's right.
It says to resist him and be firm in your faith. And to be firm in our faith, we got to honor God. We got to fear God. Or you're not going to worry about your faith. You're not going to resist the devil. You just go along with everything he says. But when you're, and we don't mean afraid, scared, but we reference him. You know, my daddy, I had a great relationship with my daddy, even as a young girl. But when, and he would joke with us, he would laugh. He was a great daddy. But when he spoke, I reverenced him and I respected him at the same time. And I honored him as my father.
Right.
Not everybody has that, so you have to let the Lord be that for you. But he will.
In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, in 17, it says, there's a lot of stuff in there, but it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's something about that.
Yeah. That's New Testament, y'all. That's
and,
New Testament.
And then it says, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then you skip over to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, I will be a father to you.
Oh, that's good.
Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And, you know, that's the thing. There's that promise that God said, I will be this. And because of that, let us do this because he has promised. He's promised.
You know, I think sometimes when we say hard, or what we think is hard for people to hear, what we're talking about sometimes, because they just, you know, let's face it, we're easygoing. We want church to be easy. We just want to go, feel good, and come home.
Right.
A lot of times. And so we wouldn't think about not going, but we don't think about also being all in.
Right. And, you know, I think that's such an important thing, too, Jeannie, is that we be all in.
Yeah.
We've got to move to the place that we are all in. And, you know, again, this, I can't say his name, the
Waleed.
Guy. Yeah. Again, when he said that about when I say to people, the Bible says, they lean into it. And see, the thing is that this world is without hope. And I mean, that's, again, that's where it's all leading you to, is to that place to share with others what you have been given, to tell people about what you have been given. And you've been given everything, life.
I want to finish that thought that I had a second ago
I said
about being all in. No, it's fine. But the reason I want to finish it is because when we say words like this, then people think, you know, well, am I not serious about the Lord? Or they think that somehow they're not being able to get where you are. And I really want to encourage you in this, like this. You know, when you, how do you don't deny, you don't go from 0 to 100 in a second. You know, you're not, when you decide today, okay, I see what you're saying. I've got to deny myself in order for the life of God to really be in me. I don't know how to do that. Okay, you start the first step. The first step was, Lord, I need to know how to deny myself here. I need to know how to walk in this. Help me see the areas of my life that need to be set aside.
Right. No,
that I don't need my way here. And I want to encourage you, everything that we do in this life, you are in a flesh and bone body. You're going to start in the flesh.
That's right.
You're not going to be, spiritual. I'm there. You will start in the flesh.
Right.
So when you walk in there and go, Lord, I want to deny myself, you may not get goosebumps.
That's right.
You may not feel different. Mm-hmm. You may even have a little help from the enemy right here, and he'd say, see, you wasn't serious.
Didn't get goosebumps.
But you was. Mm-hmm. You made the move toward the Lord. And here's what he said about that in James.
Yes.
He said, you draw near to me. I'll draw near to you. And no way nothing happens.
That's right.
Come on, y'all.
That's right.
Just keep coming to the Lord with it. Just keep showing, letting the desire of your heart come out and let him change your pliable. My heart's ready. Okay, Lord said, lay that down. Okay. Lord, I'm going to need help, but I'm going to lay that down. I'm going to lay it down. And you'll find that one day you are at that place. And it may not take long at all.
Right.
But you will have to start in the place where it don't look like nothing happened.
That's right. I like what you said about, Lord, I don't know how.
Right.
You know, you just laid it down. You just laid it down right in front of him. I don't know how to do this. There you go. You just gave it to him.
Yeah.
And that's where you start.
You got to bring the hope of the thing. Mm-hmm. We can't just say we should be having the fear of the Lord. Okay, we should.
Yeah.
But how I go about that?
Yeah.
How do I walk in that, Jeannie? Mm-hmm. How do I all of a sudden get a fear of the Lord instead of this looseness I've had?
Pursue it.
Yeah. Mm. You start by being all in. Okay, Lord. Okay.
I don't know how to
I don't know how to do it, but what do you want from me?
Hebrews 11.
Come on.
Right. That's
Read
right.
It.
Hebrews 11.
You got it?
Without faith, 11:6 through, or all of 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
Diligent. That word is diligent.
I don't know who this is. Someone just texted anonymous. Box 2 is on fire this morning.
Good. I've been getting a lot while I was over there. I got some texts too. I guess you all started talking about this was good. The world of sports expects discipline, respect, commitment, etc. from our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you all covered a lot of different stuff.
Right.
It's okay if it's everybody and everything else except when it comes to this,
church,
to the church,
to the Lord.
It's expected.
Finish that out.
Yeah.
You got another one?
VBS is a time for fun and a time to be serious in reverence to God. Even for adults, I wish they took VBS more seriously. And then two different people, one person said it, I guess, before y'all ever talked about it, but I can't figure out why some people have a bladder call during every invitation. Did you all talk about that?
Yeah. Well, we did not, but I get it.
Yes, we didn't talk about bladder, but we talked about about everything on here. But we talked about being when the altar, talked about being
call.
At the altar, or we talked about whenever he says, can we pray for someone, everybody starts talking or leaves, instead of staying and praying for them.
Yeah. Or, at the end of service, like when there's time, and I'll never forget what Miss Jeannie shared with the Lord spoke that one time. I'm ready to move now, and then everybody's already moving out.
That wrecked me.
And I don't know. I've always, I'm like, when you are hungry for the Lord, you will hold that bladder.
Mm-hmm.
You will say, Lord, I gotta go, but I know you can take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really want something bad enough, I mean, think about the woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah.
That's worse than any amount you have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And she did that not because of her physical thing, but also the emotional thing that she went through to go where she was not
accepted. Could have get in big trouble.
She could have been
big trouble.
She was fighting both things, but her desire was to get to him because she knew he had what she needed.
And that's the thing, is when we don't realize our need for him, that's where we don't have fear of the Lord. When we don't see that we need him.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's the case, then we're full of pride.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Yeah.
We were just talking about that over there with the kids.
If you're already there,
shoot,
somebody needs you to be there.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Come on.
Well, amen.
That's why I said about the story tour there. You think, that's for addicts. No, that's for recovered addicts to come in there and rub elbows with people who are still struggling.
That's right.
So that they know there's a hope. That they know, hey, you can recover.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's in any area. I'd used addiction, but, maybe you're recovered from depression. Maybe you recovered from overeating. It don't matter what it is. Somebody needs you to be there.
Right.
And there might not be every single altar call. The Lord might not have anything for you to pray over somebody, but you can still sit in your seat and pray.
Yeah.
Right.
You can still intercede from your seat.
That's exactly right.
That's the thing, is like, the Lord, it's not a religious or a legalistic thing of we have to go to the altar every single Sunday right. and do it this way. Mm-hmm. But the point is, where is our heart and our focus? Because mm-hmm. if we are, if we're talking, if we're, our heart is already left, if we're not focused anymore, we right. don't care about what people are going through in the moment. The Lord's trying to minister to us, to others. Like, we're just... we're missing out on what God has for us, and we're caught leading other people to miss out.
Good
because
time.
We are, and especially the leaders, like whoever said that, that was spot on. I think Crystal, the people are looking to, well, if they did it, then I can do it. Mm-hmm. Not just, I was going to bring this up earlier, not just the pastor, but they're looking for anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're looking for any person who's doing the thing that they want to do so that they can make an excuse
exactly.
for themselves and feel
right.
better about. If somebody else is doing it, then it's okay.
And a lot of leaders will make them feel okay about where they are because we want them to feel good about themselves, and we want them to know how much God loves them that we try to help God out.
You know, I remember Jeannie and I used to talk, and it's been several, well, we still talk, but this was back in a ways. But here's what we would say. We'd begin to say something along these lines. Now, I don't mean... we'd start.
Yeah,
it was
always
almost
make
like
an excuse
yeah,
for
always
it.
Make
yeah.
an excuse for. Now I'm going to be real gentle about this when I say it, and it wasn't that we were trying to be harsh, but we were trying to soften the blow.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And again, you know, it's not about knocking somebody out, but those are strong words. But you can't constantly make an excuse for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always soften the blow. Some of the best things have been a hard move.
I think about this message a lot. I speak of it a lot. And you'll remember this. It was here. It came. And it was the one where you, no matter what you said, at the end of it, you tagged it with, and that's just the way
I like it.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
I, you know, you, when you put mm-hmm. this in the context of this, and it's true, mm-hmm. just go ahead and say ouch or amen. But when they say, you know, well, not everybody can be spiritual like you.
And that's just the way I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Not everybody has to do mm-hmm. this. They start mm-hmm. giving their excuses for everything. Well, go ahead and put that on the end of it because you don't want to press in
right.
and give him all of you.
Right.
Just go on and say it for what it really is. And I had to face that and faced it through that message when I heard that at the end of everything I said, I heard myself say, and that's just the way you
because,
like
or,
it. You
know, or to where you say, you know, I don't think I can do that, and that's just the way I like it.
Yeah.
The
you
Lord,
know,
just
the
be
Lord,
honest.
The Lord didn't call me to do that,
yeah.
and that's
just
the way
I like
it.
You know, I had this vision one time about, I don't know if I've shared it or not, but it was like I was standing in this field, and I could see the cross from the Lord's knees down. He was there on the cross. And I noticed somebody over in the shadows, you know, moving around and everything. And finally, this person walked up to the foot of the cross, and he looked up, and this was real. He looked up, and I heard the Lord say, "What can I get you?" And the guy stood there looking up at the, up like this, and he said, "I think I'll take a number two." And God then down came this box, this cardboard box, and it was oil stained. Mm-hmm. And it had, you know how you'll take a cardboard box and you'll go over, keep the lid closed?
Yeah.
Well, one side of this was like that, but the other side was flapping. It was loose. And the guy took the box and he brought it down and he opened it up and he put his hand in there and he started moving his hand around and you heard all this rattling. Like it was a junk box.
Mm-hmm.
And he was moving around just, you know, and he was looking in there and he goes, "That's how I like it. That's how I like it." Mm-hmm. You know, and that was, he was saying this is how he liked his relationship with the Lord to be.
Mm-hmm.
What he wanted in the box, how he wanted it, what he kept it in, how he stored it. It was mm-hmm. all about this is how I like it. And that's the thing is there is a difference about how you like it and what the Lord means most of the time, but what I've come to find out is that if I will pursue the things of God, then all of a sudden the things that he's doing in my life are no longer just about what I want. They're also what I need. And my needs become my wants, and my wants become my needs because he's moving in my life. He becomes your all in all. He becomes your fulfiller of the things that you want and you need because he's the one doing the work in your life.
Amen.
But it can't be, a life with him is not about, oh, that's the way I like it. It's just not about that. He wouldn't have said you're going to have to die to yourself if that's the case.
Yeah. And that brings us all the way back full circle with the spiritual infants. Because what is, you can learn about this in the stages of development. As an infant, they only think about themselves.
That's right.
It's all about me because that's all they know. They all, their world is that they're the center of it. And we don't help it by, you know, being so captivated by them all the time.
Can't help it.
But that's what it is we don't grow out of that. And that brought us full circle back to it, is the wants and the needs. That's so good. That's so spot on. When it becomes aligned with what the Lord says, not about what we want.
You know, he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. You know, a lot of people thinking, I did too. That means he's going to give me something. He did. And come to find out that he gave me.
Was his desire.
It was his desire. And all of a sudden, I found myself wanting it.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I found myself needing it. It became everything.
I've said this before. The Word of God. Words paint pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's God, the way God made it. That's why you have an imagination.
That's right.
You were supposed to imagine what that looks like when he spoke those words. And it was supposed to give you the image of what he desired for us. And when we look into those pictures, those words of God, we find in there what his, you begin to desire what he spoke in those words. What he said in those words was he gave you the image of what he desired for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it, and I really did look at it and see things like, pray for your enemies, and I desired it. I desired to go get on my face for my enemy. I really did.
Right.
And it wasn't, it didn't come, remember,
you
didn't go from zero to 100.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make it in one day, but I made it because it was the desire of my heart.
Mine started with, Lord, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, kept coming back. I don't want to do this. Don't know how to do this. It got there. It got there.
Because what you want, you go after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
If we want it bad enough, we will hold our bladder.
You just go ahead and give that to the Lord.
Listen to y'all.
And some may have to pray harder in that situation.
I never leave the service to go to the bathroom. Never. And I did last night. I did not want to.
But after 4 hours,
I got to go. It was awful, but I hurried.
Yeah,
I hurried.
That's good. Well, you know, I had that was so funny, Miss Brit, the bladder call. That's probably the favorite of the morning. Well, I mean, it sounds like it's been great.
It has.
I'll have to listen back to that little portion, but a listener said it was all about reverence, so I think that sums it up for
it
sure. There was somebody else that had texted before, this subject fires me up. I absolutely agree. It irritates me so much when children don't stand for worship and prayer, but they learn by example, and I understand many parents don't have the reverence either. And then started talking about her own child, used to go up and worship all the time. She doesn't as much anymore, but the last time she tried to sit in that pew, I snatched her up real quick.
See, that's what we're missing, is the snatching up.
I think you can snatch them up to pray with them.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, really, I was thinking about, we got a few minutes here. When my girl was in middle school, there was a lot of bullying going on, and she was the product of that. And she'd come home and she, you know, cried and all the things. And so one day they were having parent, student, teachers, lunch. I said, I'm going to come have lunch with you. And when we got in the cafeteria, I said, show me the girls that are bullying you. And she said, please, Mom. I said, I'm not going to do anything.
I'm not going
to
beat them
I'm
up.
I'm going over there.
But I said, I want to know where they are. And she showed me a table with four girls at it. I said, that's where we're going to sit. Mm. And we went over and we set our trays down and we sat with them. And I said, well, how are you girls doing today? And we just started interacting and we started talking. And I was listening to things they cared about and all the stuff, right? When I got up from that table, they all said goodbye and everything. And then Terry told me, I said her name. She told me later, she said, they don't bother me anymore.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because in that moment, all I did was show them I was interested in them mm-hmm. and that I cared about
loved
them.
Yeah.
That's all I did. I just loved on them. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell them, you know, you shouldn't be bullying. You know, I didn't say none of that.
Let's take it outside.
But I knew what the Lord was doing.
That's right.
Was I mad? Was I angry that they were doing these things to her? You better believe it.
Yeah.
And in my flesh, I wanted to go over there and tell them, hey, you better knock it off. But what I did do was go over there and sit down and care about them.
That's
for
awesome.
Just for a minute.
You taught them a better way.
That's yeah. right.
They them never, and your daughter.
They never bothered her again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never bothered
like
her.
Like Priscilla and Aquila.
And your daughter will never forget that
no.
either.
Yeah. And, no. And she said, Mom, they all came and said, we love your mom. I'm the oldest one there. I was old enough to be her grandma. But they loved it.
Wow. But you exercising oversight yeah. is what you were doing. You handled it not under compulsion. Compulsion right. would have been, I want to know names. I want parents. I want everything, you know. But willing as God would have you,
yeah.
not shameful gain, but eagerly you went and not domineering over those that's in charge. Right. So you were examples to the flock.
Where did I get that?
God. Where's that scripture?
God has a plan.
1 Peter 5.
1 Peter 5.
Jeremy, God has one through. He has a plan. Mm-hmm. If you will take the minute
hey, yeah.
and say, Lord, Lord, how do you want me to handle this?
I was like, that sounds familiar.
See, how do you want me to handle this?
So yes. you're being his witness everywhere you go.
That's right. That's right. And he always has a way he wants to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not the way we think we ought to.
Yeah.
But he has a way.
Yeah.
It's the right way. Right. It's the good way. It's walk in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's
that's
a
right.
life way.
Amen.
Hey, amen. Amen.
All right. I think we really are coming to an end.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got two minutes.
Yeah. Yep, we are out of time for this morning. Praise God. Yeah. What a great morning. What a great time in the presence of the Lord. We're praying for you, praying for your family. May this word challenge us all. Like, this is not somebody from their seated place of authority looking down and saying, you peasants do this. This is from humility saying, let's all practice the fear
we're
of the
all
Lord.
We're all
let's
guilty.
All practice the Lord. That's probably one of my favorite verses, Ms. Crystal, in 1 Peter 5, mm-hmm. that we do not lead from domineering. We don't lead from force. We don't lead from dictation. Mm-hmm. We lead from example.
Right.
We lead from humility. We lead. And the Bible even talks about, you know, elders being such godly men that people aspire to live mm-hmm. like them. Mm-hmm. That's not because you domineer. That's because you're humble mm-hmm. and you're leading mm-hmm. in integrity and character and gentleness and kindness, mm-hmm. but also with strength mm-hmm. and resilience. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite verses, honestly, that's probably one of the my life verses, 1 Thessalonians 4, living a quiet life, minding your own business. But that's my life verse. But I think elders-wise, like in leadership, mm-hmm. that's probably my favorite
yeah, it
verse.
Is. Yeah. Well, the whole,
it's one of my favorite verses.
It's so good because it talks to the one, the flock, too.
That's right.
It addresses
right.
what
right. Now you do this and you,
it covers yeah. what all of us are doing. Yeah.
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah. Right. It well, is good.
Exactly. We love you. Thank you, women of God, for coming on here on Tuesdays
thank
and taking time
us.
Out of your day. We're out of here for today. Lord willing, the creek don't rise and the sun still shines and Jesus hasn't returned. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Vox 2 Radio on the Vox 2 Radio Network.